Well, that was the Bach, and I always try to play something new. That was the new. I've never performed that in public, although I have taught it to at least half a dozen students.
Oh.
Just the first movement. No one seems to get fast the first movement. So I really, really been wanting to learn that piece for years, and I'm glad I had the opportunity. The next piece on the program, so something old, something new, right? This is something old. This is a piece that I first started to try to learn in 1981. So I've been playing this piece off and on for what does that make it, 34 years? The last time I performed it was in Bangkok in 1992, in a recital in Bangkok. And I thought, you know, it's about time to resurrect this piece. It's one of the great pieces in all the piano literature, and I think probably by far one of the most difficult pieces I've ever learned. There might be a person or two in this audience who's known me long enough to have heard me play it once before. It's the Handel Variations by Brahms.
You may have heard you do that in college.
Yeah. I tried to play it in college. We'll see if I end up doing it better here. So it is it's a set of variations on a theme. Now, Brahms, if you don't know anything about him, he was a romantic composer. So Bach, who we just heard, was a Baroque composer. So he was writing his music back in the 1730s. This is a good 100 years later. Bach grew up in Hamburg in the north part of Germany and honed his craft in the exact same red light district that the Beatles did 100 years later. He played in brothels when he was a little boy, and some say that sort of skewed his relationship with women. He never married, but he was infatuated with one Clara Schumann, who happened to be married to Robert Schumann. Robert died only a few years after he first met Clara. Was given a letter of introduction by the great violinist Joachim, and they got to be quite good friends. Brahms saw her as Clara Schumann saw Brahms as a son. Brahms wanted a little more from the relationship. Their difference in age was 14 years, which you'd think, okay, that's a huge age difference, but Brahms' own parents, his mother was 17 years older than his father. So, anyway, weird trivia that I just happened to come up with. This was written when Brahms was 28 years old, so 1861. This is before he became one of the three Bs. He actually became one of the three Bs in his lifetime, and it was a huge burden for him. So the three Bs are Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms. And Brahms carried on the tradition of Beethoven. In fact, when Brahms finally did write his first symphony when he was 42, 43, it was called Beethoven's Tenth. So he was writing very much in the tradition of the classical age, and he was seen as an old fuddy-duddy by the firebrands like Liszt and Wagner. This was Brahms's first big successful piece. He had written a piano concerto right around the same time as this, but it flopped, believe it or not. It's one of the greatest pieces of all time, if you've never heard it. Brahms' Piano Concerto No. 1. He wrote two of them. And I can't believe it flopped when it first performed. But this was the piece that actually gained him fame. This is before he became Brahms with a capital Brahms. And he dedicated it to Clara Schumann. Clara Schumann actually performed the premiere for Brahms up in Hamburg. And Brahms himself used this as a calling card when he actually met with Liszt and he met with Wagner in the court in Weimar. This is his first big piece of music. It is one of the apexes of all the piano literature, and you'll see what I mean when I play it, or try to play it. I'm hedging my bets. It's a set of variations on a theme by Georg Handel. Now Handel was also a German composer who spent most of his life, help me out, Chris, in the British Isles. He spent a lot of time in Dublin specifically. That's where he wrote The Messiah. I'm a little bit shaky on this, but he was known as a creative oratorio. He wrote The Messiah, right? And he wrote a lot of keyboard music as well, including this really beautiful little aria that Brahms quotes note for note. So the piece begins with an aria by Handel, note for note, no change, and then follow 25 variations on that theme.
Wow,
right?
Wow, wow.
But that's not all, folks. Then he finishes it with a fugue. Now, this is the most Baroque of forms. A fugue, think of it like a round, like row, row, row your boat, where you have a theme, and then you have an entrance of that theme. So it's a four-voice fugue. And then fugue writers will do all kinds of tricks. They will expand the theme. They will play it upside down. They'll play it together. Brahms is very famous. His music is very famous for parallel thirds and parallel sixths, right? Do you know what? So that it's a little bit wider interval than a third. So when you start to hear these parallel thirds and parallel sixths, you'll know it's Brahms. He also likes to do different rhythms, two against three, three against four. So that's kind of fun. He includes in the variations quotes from a music box. There's one that sounds like a music. There's another one that sounds like it's been described as a Hungarian funeral dirge. Right? So just use your imagination when you hear that. I'm not going to describe the variations more than that. Each variation is the same length, okay? Some of them flow into the next one. Right, but you'll know when I get to number 25. Trust me. I will take a pause, and then I will start the fugue. This is a fugue that even Bach would have been proud of. At the climax of the fugue, he plays all four voices the exact same melody in sixths and inverted in thirds. So he plays all voices at the same time, the theme. And then he's not finished. He adds bells to that. And that's not it. And then he folds the theme on top of each other, leading to the huge climax to the end of this piece of music. So without further ado, so get comfortable. This is Variations on a Theme of Handel by Johannes Brahms.